In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up to heaven. We celebrate this amazing feast in the church this whole week, our Lord's ascension. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared for 40 days to his disciples, to his followers. He showed them his wounds on his hands and on his feet to prove that it was really him. He ate with them to show that he wasn't a ghost. He opened their eyes to understand the scriptures, the prophecies about him. And on the 40th day, which we celebrated this past Thursday and will continue to celebrate until Pentecost, on the 40th day, Jesus ascends. He is taken up to heaven and enthroned at the right hand of the Father. And this ascension is one of the greatest feasts of the church. It's important enough to actually be proclaimed in the Nicene Creed as a core tenet of our faith. We say, on the third day he rose again and ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father. And while a beautiful image, what makes it such a prominent feast? I mean, the ascension, for it to be such an important part of the life of the church, has to be more than just Jesus moved from here to here. It's got to be more than that. To be such an important event in the life of the church, what makes this event so profound? Well, what makes it so profound is that in Christ, a human body, a human person, human flesh, for the first time in history, enters the kingdom of heaven. And when Jesus was conceived and then born in Bethlehem, it was profound because God himself had entered creation, because heaven had come down to earth. With the ascension, we get the other direction accomplished. Creation, a human being, earth now enters heaven, tying the bow between heaven coming to earth and now earth being taken to heaven. And Jesus does so with a real body that really lived in this world. It wasn't an illusion. It wasn't a spirit. It wasn't a ghost. It was his physical body, now glorified, resurrected, that lived in this world. It was so physical that he still bore the marks of love in the flesh, the nails in his hands and feet, the spear in his side, that when he ascends, those marks of love in the flesh now enter the kingdom of heaven in a glorified manner. There's a beautiful hymn from Ascension where the angels see Christ ascending. They're in heaven and they see him coming up. And one group of angels asks, "Who is this that comes?" And the other group answers, "This is the Lord, strong and mighty, the King of glory." So the first group of angels are perplexed, and they say, "Then why are his robes stained red as blood?" And the answer given is that he comes from the flesh, having shed his blood for mankind, and as God, he sits at the right hand of the Father. He brings his sacrifice, he brings his offering as a man, but as God, he sits at the right hand of the Father and unites those two natures in one. In other words, his real humanity is glorified in heaven. Jesus ascends in the flesh with the marks of love. And these wounds, these marks of love, they're not weakness and they're not pain, but are transfigured and glorified for all eternity. But this also means, and this gets very important for you and I, this also means that Christ has made a path for us to ascend to heaven as well. Most little kids, they get to a point in life where they're old enough to start understanding their Bible stories and the life of Christ. You know, it kind of clicks, usually happens around 3 or 4 years old, where all these stories are actually real, where they actually realize something's going on. And sometimes a certain event, as they hear these Bible stories around that age, sometimes an event scandalizes or even traumatizes them. Most often, the crucifixion story can suddenly jar them when they realize what it's actually saying. And parents and Sunday school teachers have to be very delicate with how certain stories are told. But in our family, it was a little bit different. We had this Jesus tape. That's what the kids called it. It was a tape because back then it was VHS. It was the Jesus tape when the kids were young. And it was cartoons of the life of Christ. And it had little songs that were kind of cute, but it was really nicely done overall, and it gave them some teaching, and it did it in a way that they could understand. And I remember our daughter Rachel was 3 or 4 years old, and we were watching the Jesus tape, and suddenly she starts sobbing, just sobbing unconsolably. But it wasn't the crucifixion story. It was when they got to the ascension story. And we're like, Rachel, what's wrong? And it had suddenly clicked in her little mind that Jesus was going away. And that was unacceptable to that little kid. We showed her icons which helped teach her that Jesus is still here with us in spirit. He's invisibly glorified, that heaven has come among us. And that all helped some. But what finally helped most was telling her that Jesus is going away to get heaven ready for us. He was preparing a banquet. He was preparing this big celebration, and that we will be joining him. And he's just there getting things ready. And once that clicked, that was all she needed to hear. Everything was going to be okay. But that's also absolutely correct. That's exactly what Jesus says. I go to prepare a place for you, is what he says in John's gospel. And as we'll say at the dismissal at every feast, but we'll say it again today, the purpose of the ascension is for our salvation. We say, Christ, our true God, who ascended in glory for our salvation. It's for us that he does that. And that Christ is opening a path for us to ascend into the kingdom of heaven. Christ's ascension in the flesh is the precursor to your own ascension into the kingdom of heaven. And as one who is both God and man, Jesus had to go first to prepare the way for you. Now, St. Nikolai Velimirovich, it took me a few times to get the name pronunciation right, says something very important, St. Nikolai does. He says, no one can ascend to heaven unless you already have heaven within yourself first. It was in the Lord's nature to ascend to heaven because he has and he contains heaven within himself. But if we want to ascend to heaven, if you want heaven then you have to have heaven in you now. In order to have heaven glorified in you, the heaven has to be planted in you now. And what St. Nikolai is saying is that ascending to heaven doesn't start when you die. It doesn't start when you breathe your last. Ascending to heaven begins today. Ascending to heaven begins now. Ascending to heaven begins in this life with your very next breath if it hasn't begun already. And as for me, I want in on that. I want in on heaven beginning today. But where and how do I get the heaven here on earth? Well, just before he ascended, Jesus told his disciples, he says, sit tight in Jerusalem. It's actually the Greek word sit. Sit tight in Jerusalem until you have put on power from on high. Jesus is referring to the sending of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God's power to you. Unfortunately, a lot of Bible translations switch that verb to the passive voice, making Jesus say something like, sit until you receive the power from on high, sit until you are clothed with power from on high. In fact, the Bible I have right here in front of me says, sit until you are endued with power from on high. But the verb is actually an active verb. All these translations put it in the passive voice for who knows what reason. The verb is an active verb. Jesus is actually saying, sit until you put on the power from on high. It's the same verb as a soldier putting on armor. Sit until you put on the power from on high. Jesus will send the Holy Spirit. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit from the Father, but you have to put that power on. Or maybe better put, you get to put the power on. You are privileged to put the power on. And this is a fact that the Holy Spirit is available to all who believe, even while you're on this earth still. Heaven begins when you put on that power. And we'll talk more about that at Pentecost next week. But for now, be it known that Christ has ascended in the flesh, in full humanity, and in doing so, has made it possible for you and I to begin that ascent ourselves. Christ's ascent is not just moving from one place to another, but just as he brought divine nature to earth, Christ now brings our human nature to heaven. Amen.
Amen.